been to 52 countries in the last 9 years preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In every country we go to, the first questions are, tell me about America. Tell me about America. They've heard the stories. They no doubt have their own idea of what America is about. Very few have ever come to our country. But I tell you, even where we're at in the state of our nation today, people all around the world still see America as a lighthouse. But dear friend, this can change in one generation. We are in a dark time in this country. We cannot legislate morality from Washington, D.C. Morality must come from a change in our hearts. As God's people arise, just like in Kilimanjaro, the gospel brought people to faith in Christ. In our country today, there are many who are apathetic, many today who are serving false gods. And I tell you, the answer for our country today is the same as our founding fathers saw. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to bring a message, a brief message today from the Old Testament that has great application, I believe, for us today in this matter of revival and our country as individual citizens coming to faith in Christ. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. I want to read verses 21 through 23 and then verse 40 and 41. I come today with no human wisdom and no eloquence of speech, but I come declaring Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when He sees the cloud upon the lintel, the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Verse 40 and 41. Now the sojourning, or the living of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the same self day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now may God do what only God can do in the next few minutes, and that is bless the reading and the preaching of His Word. Amen. Well, this is a text in history. It's a history of God's people. The Old Testament, you're aware, the book of Exodus. The people of God were in bondage. They were in captivity for over 400 years in Egypt. You remember God in His providence brought Joseph to Egypt. And during the famine, Jacob and the family came and they had food. And Joseph was there. Though his brothers were wicked and fought against him, they meant it for evil. But God meant it for good, for the salvation of His people. And the Bible says Joseph died and there came a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. The superpower of the day, there in Egypt, the people of God, the Israelites, were a group of people that were much in work ethic. They obviously multiplied and were fruitful in that sense, and they became a large people group in Egypt. And there came a day when the Pharaoh became paranoid, obviously, and said, you know, they're becoming so large, we have to now make them our slaves. And so we're going to put them in bondage. And they're going to work for us. And for 400 years, God's people were in bondage. That's the context here in Exodus chapter 12. The context is so clear that there came a day when God's people had cried out. They had cried out for deliverance. And God heard their prayer and sent the prophet Moses. And here we are near the end of the account where Moses is telling the Pharaoh, let my people go. Let God's people go. And we come down to the last plague, that dreadful plague, the plague where God would send the angel of death to destroy the firstborn of all of Egypt, of the animals and the families. And where Moses was instructing the people as the prophet of God, here's how you can flee from the wrath of God. Here's how you can be spared. Here's how you can have liberty if you will do it God's way. And so the first observation I want to make today from this passage I've read within this broader context of Exodus chapter 12 is simply this, that bondage results from captivity. Bondage results from captivity. Now, I was humbled this morning as I looked and saw these men of God stand in our congregation as we honored them for their service of our country. And I know it's only the providence of God that I was born in a time and a generation like many of you where I was not called to go fight in a distant land for the freedom we have in this country. And I know that's only God's choice because I had no choice in the matter. But I am eternally grateful today for each of you men and for each family represented today that sacrificed so that we could have the freedoms we have today in this great country. And I honor you and I applaud you because you have gone through things that I have not been called to do. I signed up for the draft when I was a freshman in college in 1979. But never have I been drafted. I'm 50 years old today, so I've probably outlived that draft. It never happens. But from my heart today, and I'm sure speaking on behalf of our entire congregation, we applaud you, we honor you, and many have spilt blood so that we in this country could have the freedoms that we have today. The Egyptians had the Israelites in a posture, in a position of bondage. They were taskmasters. They were cruel taskmasters. And the people of God were in physical bondage, and they were crying out, God, you promised Abraham that we would have a land full of milk and honey. You promised that we would have a land that would be our possession. God, are you still on the throne? God, are you still listening? And there came a day where God heard their cry. But their bondage, their physical captivity, was because they were under a cruel taskmaster. And I want to tell you, the Bible is so clear. There is only one original meaning to every text. This text was for the original audience. It was for the people of God in Israel at that time. But I want to tell you, the message is the same for every generation of God-fearing people and now born-again believers by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That bondage means that we are under captivity. And today, in this city, in this country, we have made choices that have been immoral. Choices that have been against the law of liberty and the word of God. And we are under the taskmaster of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's not only within the world, but it's come within the visible church. And it's time for us to arise and see that bondage comes when we are slaves to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus said, he that commits sin is a slave to sin. And I tell you, in our country today, we are suffering because I believe Christ's people and the redeemed of the Lord have not arisen and been Christ's people as a witness in this country. And I believe that all of us today, before we can experience the refreshment and the revival of the Lord through His gospel, we must first repent. We must first confess our own sinfulness and that we have not been the Spirit-filled ambassadors for Christ that we should be in our community. The bondage that we have spiritually today is because we have allowed the prince of darkness to have dominion and domain in this territory. The book of Ephesians says that we are all born sinners by nature and by choice. So many times we minimize that, but I tell you, whether we're in Memphis or whether we're in Mozambique, Africa, whether we're in Tennessee or where we just came back from Tanzania, we all have a universal problem, and that is that we are sinners, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so today, may we see that the bondage that we experience as families, as communities in this society, comes from not primarily not obeying the laws of this land, but not obeying the law of liberty and God's instruction in His Word. And so the bondage that the Egyptians had, or the captivity they had over God's people, was because they were the taskmaster. Whoever we are allegiant to, the Bible says, they will be our master. We will never legislate morality from the outside. It must come from a change in the heart, as Jeremiah said. God wants to write His law on our hearts. Oh, today, may He do that in your life and mine. The second observation that I want to share is not only that bondage results from captivity, but also that the blood rescues from hostility. Oh, hallelujah. We see this great text, y'all. This is the first Passover. The Passover where this last plague, God was sending that angel of death. The Pharaoh had hardened his heart. It wasn't enough that there were frogs everywhere and that the water turned to blood and that there was darkness and there were flies everywhere. It wasn't a matter that those were enough. He said, I will not let your people go, God. Finally, one day, God said, the time is now. I'm going to bring the closer. The closeout plague, it's going to be the one that is going to bring freedom to my people. And so he was bringing judgment upon Egypt. He was bringing judgment upon those who had intentionally abused and mistreated the Israelites for all of those years. But he had this provision. He had this escape venue. You know, God is a God of mercy. Aren't you thankful today that though the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness, aren't you thankful that there's a place where each of us can flee from the wrath to come? Aren't you thankful today that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to take away each and every sin we have? Aren't you thankful today that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, not just for a select group of people, but He died for every individual? He tasted death for each person. And how dare any of us limit the atonement of Jesus Christ? For the atonement of Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who has shed His blood for the sins of the world, America and Africa, Asia, Europe, Antarctica, Australia. And so we see here a picture of the blood of Christ. The Old Testament is full of typologies. That means things that were a type of something that would be fulfilled in the future. And here we see the Passover blood coming from an unblemished lamb. Does that ring a bell? The instruction was to take an unblemished lamb, take the blood, and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel. And that when midnight came in the evening and the avenger of death, that angel of death would come, that he would pass over the household. He would pass over the family that had the blood on the ceiling. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ has always been a covering for our sins. There is no place you can find today where your sin can be removed and your life changed and a new opportunity to start afresh without coming under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus loved us and He washed us in His blood. The Bible says that Jesus Christ suffered once, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ and His blood was shed, that we are redeemed not with corruptible silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. This blood of the animal was a picture. It was pointing to the day when Jesus would come, and He would die at Calvary, and He would shed His blood, and He would say, "It is finished, it is done. I have purchased redemption for sinners all around the world." But listen, there's a reason why many today are still under the hostility or the wrath of God. It's simply this, because they've rejected Jesus Christ. They're trusting in maybe even their church programming or some religious creed, or they're trusting in some kind of an outward experience, and they're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. The blood rescues from hostility, and as Pharaoh's hostility was temporarily relented, and how he got to the point where he said, "Go, get out of my sight." And he had given them freedom. The same way when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God was appeased. His wrath was satisfied, Romans 3 says. Oh, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, which was a propitiation. And through faith in His blood, that's our faith in His blood, we are made just because God is the justifier of him that trusts in Christ. I mean, today, the gospel is the greatest news that your ear will ever hear. And today, I want you to know that in our country, in this generation, it's important that we return to God, because I want to tell you, the last 200 years, our country, Christ Church in this country, have sent out missionaries all around the world. And in the last 200 years, we have been a blessing to other nations because Christ's church has been obedient to the Great Commission. And yes, We're thankful today that the church in Korea and many other nations on other continents are now reaching their people for Christ, because that is God's plan for the Great Commission. But hear me, America still is a place where we have the freedom to pursue God with all the gusto and the passion that the Holy Spirit revs up in our souls. We are not under persecution. We are not under any kind of constraint, and God has blessed us with that because we have been under the blood. But dear friend, it can change in one generation. It can change so quickly. And so today, may we see that regardless of the generation here, and we have four or five generations sitting in this assembly today, that every one of us today must again make a choice. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then lastly, as an observation, I want you to see not only the bondage that results from captivity, the slavery the Egyptians or the Israelites had under Egyptians' rule, not only the blood that rescued from the hostility there with the Passover and the angel of death passing over the people and protecting them, but also, lastly, there's the blessing that resounds from liberty. Verses 40 and 41, God's promise was fulfilled. After 430 years, the people of Israel had their freedom. They had their physical freedom, and they were beginning their journey to the promised land. And we know the story after this. We know the story that Pharaoh changed his mind and tried to bring the Israelites back. Well, God wiped out the chariots and the Egyptians, and so they were unsuccessful. We know that the people of God disobeyed, and 10 spies who were sent over out of the 12 said, "We can't take the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And we know that God punished them. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness before they came into their land of promise. We know all that today. But I want to tell you, the truth of the matter remains. The blessing resounds from liberty. And it's true in the physical sense of the Egyptians historically, as the Israelites under Egyptian rule historically, and it's true today for believers here in America. And so the blessing that resounds from liberty, what is it? Well, we have a country today that is free. One of the great blessings we have in our country is the freedom of religion. Do you realize that? That's a wonderful thing, to have freedom of religion. It's not the government's responsibility to convert people to Christianity. You know, the early church tried that, and with Constantine, they tried to legalize Christianity as the Christian religion, and they forced people to go through rituals and external ceremonies and all kinds of outward professions, and they pronounced them, "You're a Christian." That's not how a Christian is made. A Christian is not made from the earth. A Christian is made from heaven. A Christian is not born from the earth. A Christian is born from above. A Christian is one who comes to repentance and faith, and he says, "I will deny myself, I will take up my cross, and I will follow Jesus." And that is true for every generation. And so the blessing that resounds from liberty here we have in this country today is we have the opportunity to worship freely our Lord. We have the opportunity to share freely the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to send missionaries around the world, equipping other nationals on how to reach their people for Christ, on outreaches and other type mission endeavors. That's all because we have freedom today. And the freedom that God has given us in America is not to be self-serving. Yes, we should thank God for the opportunities we have. But God wants us as Christ's church in America to arise and to take our freedom and to use it so that others may find freedom that only they can find in Christ. Galatians 5:1, Paul told the Galatians, he said, "Stand fast in the liberty that you have in Christ, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We have a choice to make today. I want to close with an illustration from the past in our country, in our national history. In the 1800s, there was a preacher, and I know Brother Ashley has quoted this message from the pulpit before, but there was a preacher, and his name was Jonathan Edwards, and he was a pastor in a church in Connecticut. The year was 1738, and he preached a message that he entitled, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And his text was out of Deuteronomy the text there in chapter 32, I believe, where God said, in due time, their feet will slip. And he preached this message. He was a monotone speaker. He didn't get animated like I am today. He's an evangelist of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit can use all kinds of deliveries, can't he? All kinds of personalities. We have one message to preach. It's Christ's message. It may come in different packages, but it's one message. The gospel message, which is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. And so Jonathan Edwards stood up in this church and he began to preach. And mind you, the timing, it was 1738. Now, that was about 28 or 30 years before a very important day in our national history. 1776, Independence Day. That's the day when we were formed as a nation, legally. But I share this with you because before we ever became a nation legally, as a sovereignty, God was working through His church, through His people that lived here in the colonies. And men like Jonathan Edwards and others, George Whitefield, William Tennant, many others, who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, they gave invitations for people to come to Christ. These preachers were and teachers were anointed. And the Holy Spirit opened the ears of those that heard. And there was a great awakening that took place in this country. Could it be that that great awakening, spiritual awakening, a gospel awakening, could it be that in God's providence, that was the preface that led to everything that followed in terms of our country being who we are today as a sovereignty and the greatest free democracy in this world? I tell you, we should take note of that. Because if our country is ever going to be a country that is indeed more populated with those God-fearing, born-again believers in Christ's church who make choices to follow Christ, I tell you, if that's ever going to happen again, it's only going to happen because Christ's people have arisen. And Christ's church has said, in this generation, we are going to make a difference. And here's the good news as we close. That God is the same God of the Israelites. He's the same God. He's the God of the Bible. He's our God today. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, I will hear from heaven. I will heal the land. I will forgive their sins. That promise was not only to the first historical audience there in the book of Chronicles, but it is also for God's people in this generation and the next generation if Jesus tarries. And I tell you, we need to awake. We need to arise. And I'm thankful for how God is working within our church here. As we respond to Memphis, as we respond to the world, and may each of us today examine ourselves to see if we truly are under that blood. Oh, dear friend, today, if you died today, would you be with God in heaven? If you died today, would you be under the blood of Jesus Christ? Or would that avenger of wrath and the judgment of God banish you to a place called hell? I tell you, the Bible's so clear. God is just and we are not. God is holy and we are not. And there's a great gulf between holy God and sinful man. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believes in me will never perish. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to be set free. As we close this morning, my question for you is, do you know without a doubt that you are free from the bondage of sin because you have trusted in Jesus Christ and you've been born again by His gospel? Do you know that this morning? If not, then this is your day. I entitled this message, true independence comes from only total dependence. Sounds like oxymoron, something that is an antithesis, right? But it's true. True independence and freedom for all eternity comes only through complete, total, unequivocal dependence and trust in Jesus Christ. And only when we're saved are we set free to live and serve God and be a blessing to our nation and those around the world. Jesus Christ today is calling you. He's calling you to come to Him by faith. Are you listening? Every head bowed, every eye closed. So thankful for the freedom we have as a nation. So thankful for all the blessings we have in this country. But today, as we close, I want to ask you a question. Are you right with God? Have you come to the point in your life where you know for certain that if you died today, you would go be with God in heaven? In just a moment, we're going to have a time of public invitation. We're going to ask those who are willing to come and commit their life to Christ, those who are willing to come and confess Christ as a Lord and Savior, those who are willing to be baptized as believers, but you've never been baptized through immersion, for you to come, and those who may be willing to join this church. The altars are going to be open in just a moment. We're going to ask you to come. But the question is for you now, are you willing to respond? Are you willing? Are you willing to cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved today? Maybe there are believers here today and you've been entangled in some besetting sin. I want to tell you, God wants to give you liberty today. The gospel is what we are saved by, is what we live by every day. Today, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to take away all of your sins. You'll just confess Him today. Father, we pray now during this time of public invitation. God, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Father, I pray as we've exalted Christ today, Lord, through this passage, Lord, I pray that today many would say an everlasting yes to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Our ministers are going to be at the front. Brother Mike's going to lead us in just as I am. How are you going to respond today? God wants you to respond publicly if you've trusted in Him.